everyone, this is Sarah from The Journey and welcome to another episode of My Journey. Now on today's My Journey, we're focusing on a topic that's pretty close to home here at The Journey, and that is because it is something that our head of marketing, Vicky Hersherson, actually really struggled with throughout her own experience. Now we recently did a podcast with the lovely Holly Rubin. She's a psychotherapist and body image expert, and she talked a lot about the stigma that goes along with feeling not quite yourself as your body changes and as you go into postpartum. We think it's an issue that a lot of people face, but not many people talk about, and it's actually an issue that can be pretty debilitating. So we thought we'd get our very own Vicky Hersherson to share her experience, what helped her, and hopefully something like this might resonate with you. So without further ado, let's kick off with Vicky. Hi Vicky, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, body image, it's something that gets talked a lot about internally within The Journey HQ, and you more than anyone know some of the struggles that come alongside this.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that I really did struggle with in my pregnancy in 2017, and it was something I really struggled with, I would say, pretty much throughout the entire 9 months, and also probably the first year after I had my baby. For various reasons, it was something that I really, really did find difficult. And I interestingly feel like it's something that's not really talked about that much. I think there's lots of awareness about different aspects of pregnancy and postpartum, but for me, I actually felt like this was interestingly a topic that no one really discusses that much.
Now, let's take a step back. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience and your journey, and then leading that into how it started to affect you mentally.
Sure. So I got pregnant in 2017. And interestingly enough, and, you know, kind of a really fortunate problem to have, it happened super quick. It's kind of something that, you know, lots of people really wish for. And we were very lucky, me and my husband, that it kind of within the first month of trying, we actually ended up being pregnant. And that's an interesting one because it was something I was actually really mentally not prepared for. And alongside that, I felt almost kind of guilty for being quite taken off guard about it and not being over the moon when, you know, as we all know, so many couples and women and men, you know, they struggle with fertility. So that in itself is something I was kind of slightly battling with, that I was kind of really caught off guard of how quickly I was pregnant. And then, you know, not wanting to be that open and honest with people that perhaps I was struggling with it slightly because, you know, I was aware that, you know, lots of people find it hard and I wanted to be sensitive to that.
So do you think that initially your anxiety was around your body, or was it just anxiety about being pregnant much earlier than you thought, full stop?
Well, I think it was all of the above. I think it's something that I think is really prevalent for women today, for all of us. I think really to summarize it was a control issue. And I think a lot of women nowadays, we are kind of, you know, trying to be super achievers. We're trying to do everything. We are so buttoned down and we try and be so in control of every aspect of our life. But I think when I got pregnant, I felt so out of control, A, because I wasn't planning on it happening so quickly, but then B, to your point, really, then the changes in my body. And I think, as I say, it was a real control issue that I really had to, there was nothing I could do about it. And it was like, you kind of almost have to completely surrender.
That's really interesting. I think lack of control is something that many people struggle with, no matter what their experience is, whether it's lack of control, your body not doing what you want it to in terms of getting pregnant or being pregnant and seeing your body change. So would you say that your anxiety around your body changing was a symptom, or would you say it was like one of the drivers that really kind of heightened your anxiety?
I think honestly it became, as time went on and obviously as my pregnancy progressed and my body kind of started changing at an increasing rate, as women who have been pregnant will know, you know, almost it can feel like every day you wake up and you kind of just don't recognize who's looking back at you in the mirror. I think it kind of almost became a driver for my anxiety. I think, you know, it's really interesting because I think there's, I was surrounded by lots of my friends and my peers who were pregnant at the same time or had just had babies, and also kind of social media. And I was kind of doing, we all do it, we all look on Instagram. And I just, I felt like I was just looking at everyone who was pregnant and they all had these perfect bumps and they all look, you know, so amazing. And, you know, it's that dangerous thing that we all do, is like the comparison. I was comparing myself constantly to others and that kind of inner self-critical voice. And so as time went on, my anxiety just really started to build and build.
And how did that manifest itself? So on a day-to-day basis, was it just something that you felt very kind of on edge internally, or did it actually come out in specific ways?
So I would say I internally felt on edge, but it probably came out in terms of being quite short-tempered at times, quite snappy. You know, I talk about this kind of comparison. I would very much be triggered by if I was talking to someone or I saw someone who was also pregnant. And, you know, I think it's really interesting. I think it's something that's not talked about and we should talk about, which is I find it really strange how it seems like there's suddenly this green light. When a woman says she's pregnant, discussion about her body is like, it's all bets are off. It's kind of, you're allowed to do it and everyone does it. And it becomes this socially acceptable thing of, oh, you know, your bump looks big, your bump looks small, you're carrying to the front, you're carrying around the... And it suddenly feels like, because you're pregnant, we can all talk about how you physically look. Whereas, of course, socially, we would never do that before. And I think it's, I really struggled with that. I felt like my body and my body image was somehow now free game and everyone could talk about it. And I, to answer your question, that then probably kind of came out with me being quite snappy at times. And you know, I would get irritated by it because I just, it kind of annoyed me and I didn't understand it.
So how did you actually deal with it when somebody was coming up and commenting? Did you reply to it or did it just internally make you feel a lot worse?
Well, listen, I mean, I think how I would like to have responded to it would have been to kind of say something, be honest and say, you know, that actually kind of bothers me. But the reality is, I didn't. I internalized it. I never said anything. I probably really just took it on board and really kind of probably went over it and over it in my head. You know, I had so many unfortunate comments, you know, throughout my pregnancy that, you know, we used to always kind of, I would tell people and would have a bit of a laugh, but, you know, behind the kind of funny story, I was like finding it quite difficult, you know, people telling me, wow, you know, you're really thickening out. Kind of using unfortunate language like that, which, again, it's this odd thing of suddenly, because a woman is pregnant, it feels like somehow they've relinquished their body and, you know, we're all allowed to kind of comment on it. And I think, you know, it's really interesting. It works to the other way as well. I have a friend who's pregnant and she's got a really tiny bump and she's about 5.5 months pregnant. And again, whenever she sees people, they say, how pregnant are you? She says 5.5 months. And it's kind of a, oh my God, but your bump's so small. And I think that's an important thing to mention as well. It can work both ways. I mean, I felt like a whale and I kind of felt like I was almost being like fat shamed, which is ridiculous to say when you're pregnant. But I think also women who are pregnant that have small bumps, they almost get kind of shamed about that as well. And then obviously that then they worry about, is the baby big enough? Is there a problem? And I think it's this really awful thing that we need to kind of try and stop, is this kind of thing that people think that they can comment. And, you know, as I said, my friend who is pregnant, who has a small bum, it actually kind of makes her feel anxious because once again, people feel like they can just kind of comment on it.
So your advice would be to anyone listening who has experience of this, How would you suggest now with hindsight that you should reply to a comment like this?
You know, I honestly think, and what I wish I'd done is with honesty and no shame. You know, it's not something that we should feel kind of ashamed about, is by telling someone, actually, you know what, that I find that comment uncomfortable, that I find that comment hurtful. I think by actually putting up some healthy boundaries and telling people if you find something a bit inappropriate, I think actually that's okay and you're allowed to do it. And I think that would be my advice to people, is don't be ashamed because you're feeling like this. And I think you have to protect yourself. And I think, you know, there is no shame in that, in kind of letting people know I have a boundary and I find that comment unhelpful. So you can do it in a lighthearted way, but I think there's ways of doing it which make it clear, you know, I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good advice. The only thing I would say is that you can say this now with hindsight, but do you think when you were kind of consumed by it at the time, you would have been able to have kind of rationally thought that way?
No, I think exactly. I think if I could paint a perfect world, then I could kind of be the person, you know, that I want to be, you know, more confident, maybe more, you know, stronger in those moments, then yeah, I would have a pithy one line that would kind of put someone in their place. But as you say, the reality was I actually didn't, and I just internalized these comments. And I was internalizing the shame that I felt about not being comfortable with my body. So I think, listen, if you can't come out with a pithy one-liner, I think my advice would be is to find someone that you feel comfortable, that you can talk to. I think it's really important. I think it's, you know, you have to vent and you have to let it out some way. And I think if you can find a confidant, whether it's a partner or a friend or somebody who's gone through a pregnancy but that you feel you can confide in, or a therapist, then I think it's actually really important, because you might not have the confidence to kind of say something at that time and place. But I think what I did was I really stewed in it, and I wasn't honest about how I was feeling, and I think it makes it worse. And I think you kind of almost feed the beast by just internalizing it. And I think the key is, don't be ashamed, talk to somebody, and there's no right or wrong of how you're feeling. If you're feeling the way you are, you know, that's cool. And the chances are, I think, people, you know, if you kind of open up and be honest about it, more often than not, you know, you might speak to someone that's gone through something similar. And it is that old adage, and it sounds kind of trite, but, you know, I think a problem shared is often a problem halved. It can really help.
Now, speaking of that, I was going to ask you, how was it that you found that you could start to cope? And do you think at the beginning you were honest with yourself about these things, or did you even kind of, I guess, put yourself in a bit of denial?
I definitely put myself in a bit of denial. I definitely, you know, buried my head in the sand about it. I didn't want to talk to people about it. As I said, I think I've talked about the guilt of feeling the way I felt. I think this kind of this built-in acceptance that it's socially okay to, you know, comment on how people are looking is such the norm that I felt bad about being kind of sensitive to it. And I think, you know, going back to kind of actionable advice for people, you know, again, I talk about talking to people, but it's the same thing. If you're too much in denial and too much in your own head about it, one thing that I think can be really helpful is actually to kind of switch off unhealthy behaviors and unhealthy situations. So if you know that there's somebody that kind of you see that's always talking about your bump. I mean, I had a woman at work that it was literally every time I saw her, she commented on my size. Then just kind of remove yourself from that situation as best you can. You know, remove yourself from following people on Instagram that do not make you feel good. You know, I was pregnant and there were a couple of people I was following that had the kind of Instagram perfect pregnancy. You know, the shots of them in their Calvin Klein underwear with their kind of perfect bum. You know, just stop following them. There is, I believe, genuine actions you can take that just help take the pressure off, and just, it is about, I think, being kind to yourself and that internal kind voice, and protecting yourself and putting up some healthy boundaries.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And it's certainly something that's quite easy and practical to do. Now, did you find that this was worse at a certain point, or was this the same throughout your pregnancy?
I think it was, you know, it ebbed and flowed, but being completely, completely honest, it was pretty bad throughout my entire pregnancy. But just in different ways. And obviously my journey will be maybe slightly different to others. But, you know, for anyone listening that is struggling with their changing body, you know, there'll probably be key markers that they'll have experienced the same. It was that first, like, you know, 1 to 4 months when most people kind of only have a small bump. You know, I felt like mine was huge when women were kind of saying, oh, you know, I don't need to buy maternity clothes, all my normal clothes fit me. There was me kind of trolley dashing online, you know, on all the maternity websites, because literally nothing fit. And I was kind of thinking, well, God, what's wrong with me? Then, you know, as I got bigger and bigger, I got to the point where I just almost couldn't really look in the mirror. And that was really hard. And then obviously, you know, my relationship with my husband, that is a whole dynamic as well, because if you're feeling like you're looking awful, you're not going to feel attractive. That's going to kind of have an impact on your relationship with your other half. And it kind of, and that got really worse, you know, towards the, I'd probably say the last 3 months, because I just felt huge. So the honest answer, I think my discomfort with my body image was pretty prevalent throughout the whole 9 months. And then weirdly, as soon as I'd had the baby, I kind of leaned into it for the first 5 months after, because I was breastfeeding. And I kind of thought, sod it, F this. I'm not going to worry about losing the baby weight. And I became so intensely focused on the baby. So I had a kind of almost 5 month hiatus where, for some reason, I think the hormones in my body kind of overtook, and that clever, you know, nurture took over. And it was all about, you know, feeding and nurturing and nourishing my baby through my breastfeeding that I didn't care. But then pretty quickly, as soon as my breastfeeding finished, once again, the pressure kicked in. I was again comparing myself to people that had lost the baby weight, and what feels like, you know, the day after they had the baby, they're back in their skinny jeans. And, you know, the anxiety very quickly ramped up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you mentioned a couple of points there. I guess there's two things. One, I actually just wanted to touch on, you mentioned your relationship with your husband and how that changed. And then secondly, obviously postpartum, which is a whole nother topic. But coming back to the point about your husband, I think quite a lot of people struggle with a changing dynamic with their partner. And I guess when you're struggling with how you look, that is a prime reason why you might have some issues. So can you talk to us a bit about, you know, how you dealt with it at the time, and then maybe with hindsight, how you would deal with it the next time?
Yeah, I mean, I think how I dealt with it at the time was probably not the healthiest. So if anyone is going through something similar, probably don't follow my lead on this one. But it was, you know, I internalized it a lot. I kind of really, really kind of dragged myself over the coals about it, but didn't really verbalize it and didn't speak to my husband about it and tell him, you know, how I was feeling. And it got to the point where I didn't want to be physically touched because, and you know, this is where the real guilt thing comes in for even saying this, but I really felt repulsed by how I looked. And I know that's kind of not what you should say when you're carrying your baby, and it should be this beautiful, kind of wonderful experience that you're this kind of blooming mother. But I felt horrendous. I felt revolting, and therefore kind of my husband trying to physically touch me was just kind of ick. So my advice in hindsight would be, I genuinely think it is that communication, it would have, I really think, helped take the pressure off a lot if I'd have been a bit more open and honest. And I think, I know we kind of all do the eye roll about, you know, men are useless, men don't understand. But I think, let's be honest, they're kind of 9 times out of 10 intelligent humans. And I think if you have an honest conversation, you'll probably be pleasantly surprised. You know, and I think partners can be a lot more supportive than you give them credit for. So I think for me, I wish I'd been a bit more open and honest. And that's also with my husband, my partner, but that's also with actually probably my friends and family. I think that would have really alleviated a lot of problems if I'd have just told people that I was struggling.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And funnily enough, that's the advice that Holly gave repeatedly through her podcast about how the best way is to deal with it. Now, coming on to postpartum, because obviously that is probably the kind of area that is more talked about. You know, we're constantly bombarded in the press and on Instagram with celebrities that have their babies and then seemingly 2 minutes later they're in a bikini, and it just always makes everybody feel rubbish, but yet the media still continues to publish these pictures. It is something that's a little bit more out there, but can you talk to us about your experience? Obviously you said that for the first few months when you were breastfeeding you did all right, but then, you know, it started to become a problem again. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think kind of go back to your first point about that it is more talked about and it is more out there about talking about postpartum body image and weight loss. I think it is because it is, you know, more socially acceptable to accept that women kind of want to change their bodies once they've had the baby. And I do think there is this, it doesn't feel socially acceptable as a woman when you're pregnant to say, oh God, I don't like how my body's changing, because as I mentioned, you know, it feels like there's this expectation that you should be kind of Mother Earth, you know, so happy that your body is ever changing to grow this human. And whilst you probably are, you're still okay and you're allowed to kind of be freaking out that your body's changing. And I think that's a really important point, that, you know, I think as women, we should be, you know, it is okay to feel how you feel. But in answer to your question about how I coped with the postpartum kind of post-breastfeeding aspect, again, I felt a huge amount of pressure again. And, you know, yes, Instagram, yes, media, images that are kind of constantly bombarded at this, but also, through no fault of anyone's, but my peers, my friends, you know, I have so many friends that seem to have babies. And then, you know, as I said, like, it seemed like 6 weeks later, they were in bikinis and in their skinny jeans and looked absolutely fabulous. And then I felt there was me, like the kind of the blob that just still hadn't lost the baby weight. And I really, really struggled with that. I really did. And I think, again, I think there is so much pressure, and there's the reality as well of, let's not forget, when you have a baby, if you don't have lots of help, which, you know, most of us don't and didn't, then it's really hard. You can't get down to the gym 3 times a week. And, you know, there is like the realities of like trying to just keep your head above water. You've got a new baby. And I think my advice would be, and I did, I think, to an extent, do this, but probably could have done it more, is, again, it's really the same advice for pregnancy. It's about actually being kind to yourself, and the way we kind of like internally talk to ourselves. You know, I would catch myself looking in the mirror and like really negative things running through my head that I'm sure every woman listening, we've all done it. You know, you look in the mirror and you kind of, your eye immediately draws to that, you know, slightly saggy tummy, or your upper arms, or, you know, your upper thighs. And it's like that immediate thing of your eye goes to that piece of your body, and that thing in your head starts kind of the criticism. It's the, you know, you look so fat, you look disgusting, it's so wobbly, it's gross. And it's that kind of like really negative, nasty language that you would never dream of saying or talking to anyone else like that, but yet we kind of do it to ourselves, which is mad. And I think that would be my advice is just like, you know, be kind to yourself and give yourself a break. Like, you know, what your body's just been through is pretty unbelievable. And where possible, don't compare yourself to others, which I feel like was my big, big mistake and something I just did again and again, was that constant comparison.
Now, all this stuff is completely valid. And in fact, it's a lot of the stuff that Emmy, on our advisory board, repeatedly makes the point about, especially in terms of how we talk to ourselves. Now, at what point did you feel like that started to kind of kick in for you? Because you said, obviously, after breastfeeding, you really started to struggle with it. And at what point, and what do you think was the trigger for you to kind of finally come out of that and start changing the way you spoke to yourself?
So I started to see a therapist at around, it must have been probably around 8 months postpartum. So I'd finished breastfeeding. I'd gone through the phase of like feeling pretty gross, and I didn't actually happen to see a therapist because I was feeling rubbish about my body. It was to do with kind of bigger issues I had about trying to sort out kind of unresolved issues that I think I'd had in my childhood, but had become slightly dialed up after I'd had a baby, you know, things like a real need for control, etc. And it was actually through seeing a therapist that I really kind of started to understand this kind of how I was talking to myself, and this kind of very, like, you know, this quite negative, nasty way, and the difference it can make when you kind of dial that down and you are kinder to yourself, as Emmy often talks about. And I think, you know, I think every situation is different, but I think, you know, I was lucky, I was in a position where I could have talked to a quote unquote professional who could help kind of coach me through learning that skill, because I think it is a skill. I think we're kind of so conditioned to be quite self-critical that I really think, you know, and I'm not perfect at it even now, you know, I still find, you know, as we all do, we all have days where we feel crap. But, you know, it's just, I was lucky that I had someone to kind of really help me, coach me through learning that and kind of trying to be better at that.
So was there a specific catalyst for you to get help, or do you think it was just something that built over time and then you had the opportunity?
It was probably something that was building and building. And as I mentioned, it was really, for me, the catalyst was this kind of overwhelming need for control. Which, you know, with a baby, it became very kind of about the routine, and I became almost so fixated on the routine that any deviation would make me go into a bit of a tailspin. And as anyone knows, with a baby, they're not, you know, they're not machines, and kind of sticking to a plan and routine is by nature not going to happen all the time. So it got to the point where I just kind of was like, you know what? I don't seem able to fix this myself, and I don't seem able to really kind of have the tools to talk to people, or, you know, my husband or my friends, to be able to try and get help. So I looked to speak to somebody kind of outside my circle, and I do think that can often work as well. I think as someone, if you find it hard to talk to people close to you in an odd way, sometimes talking to someone who's actually removed can be easier. So for me, yeah, I think that definitely worked.
Sometimes it's quite a big step, though, to kind of, you know, you might think about talking to a therapist, but actually to make that leap, to find somebody, to phone them up, to go to their office. Did you even have feelings about that? Because I know some people can even feel guilty about, you know, spending money on a therapist or taking time out. How did you, or did you find it a relief?
I think, you know, I've kind of always probably thought, you know, oh, therapy's not for me. I'm not the kind of person that needs therapy. And I think I probably, you know, just boxed that away, that I'm not that person that needs it. So I think when I decided to, you know, investigate into looking into a therapist, I think whether it was maybe even on a subconscious level, I'd obviously got to the point where I really had realised I wanted to make a change and I wasn't able to do it myself. So I think, to be honest with you, I don't think I really struggled with guilt, because I think I had obviously got to that point where I really decided I wasn't happy with the status quo of how I was feeling and I wanted to do something about it. And I think once I got to that point, I kind of was leaning into it. And I think that's the other thing. I think sometimes, you know, we all go about our daily lives and actually sometimes like pressing pause and realizing, actually, you know, I'm not happy with, you know, if it's about body image every day, looking in the mirror and feeling really crap. And I want to do something about it. Whatever it is, I feel like for me, once I got to that point of, I want to make a change, it kind of all flowed quite well after that.
So you obviously started seeing a therapist, and you started to adjust the way that you were speaking to yourself. I guess sometimes there is this also this expectation in modern life that things happen instantly and you instantly felt better. How long do you think it took you to start A, kind of speaking to yourself better, and B, really feeling better? Because I'm sure it didn't happen kind of after session one, or did it?
No, it absolutely didn't. And to be totally honest, I still, you know, struggle with it now. So I think it's not like, I mean, unfortunately, I wish there was like a magic bullet for it. And, you know, I'm not an expert on it, but there's obviously different types of therapy. There's CBT, which is kind of more, they give you actual tools of like, you know, what to do, or there's more kind of psychotherapy, and there's different ways. But I mean, I don't believe that there's any kind of magic bullet, regardless of which kind of route you go down. And it's, I think I probably saw an improvement after probably 3 months. But being completely honest, it's something I do still struggle with. It's there's days where I kind of feel rubbish. There's days where I find myself kind of being quite down on myself, you know, how I look. And again, I think for me, my kind of big trigger is control and comparison to others, which I think is probably really common for a lot of women, and particularly the world which we live in today, you know, like this ever-present social media. You know, we're constantly scrolling through people's kind of perfect versions of themselves, and I just feel like it's such a pressure cooker, and it's such a kind of way that we live. It's so hard as a woman, and for men, you know, body image is such a huge kind of trigger for a lot of people, and I just think, yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm ever kind of going to be perfect. I'm never going to not have a negative thought about my body and how I look, but I think if you look at it on a kind of percentage of when it's good versus when it's bad, I'm hopefully kind of, I've tipped the needle that I'm more good than I am bad with it.
Well, that's certainly progress. And so given everything you've been through and what you learnt now, if you were going to have another baby, how do you think, just in summary, that you would deal with it, given what you've been through and what you've learnt?
I think, honestly, it would be to give myself a break, to not feel so awfully guilty that I might be struggling with how my body looks when I'm pregnant. I kind of talked about it, and you know, I'll stress the point again because I think it's really important. I think it doesn't feel socially acceptable as a woman to feel crap about your body when you're pregnant, because you should be having this magical experience and you should be, you know, feeling wonderful, and you should be so, you know, in this blissful cloud of, you know, Beyonce twin pregnancy, doing beautiful photo shoots, that you shouldn't be kind of worried about the size of your thighs. And actually, you know what, it is okay to worry about it. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you're going to be a terrible mother. It doesn't mean that you don't love your baby. And it also doesn't mean that you're selfish and self-obsessed. It's just normal. And I think if I was to have another baby, hopefully, you know, I would allow myself to feel how I feel. There's no right or wrong. And, you know, I would like to think I would also be able to be a bit stronger and tell people to kind of shut up a bit, you know, when if they are commenting on how I look. And if someone does make a comment that I find not helpful, to tell them. But I think I might not quite be there yet.
Well, it sounds like you've made quite a lot of progress. And I think in terms of people listening, there's a lot of practical things that they can do. And I think more than anything, feeling like they're not alone. And this is something that a lot of us don't talk about, but many of us feel at least at some point. Now, you have a lovely daughter now. Given the dynamics that you talked about, which are very accurate, of course, about the world we live in, this comparison, the Instagram, the images that are bombarded, how do you think you're going to approach parenting her to cope in a world that we live in?
So I think that's a really, really good question. It's something me and my partner actually discuss a lot about. I think I'm acutely aware of it, whereas I think he is a lot more kind of clueless about it. And I think obviously being a girl and being a woman, you are more attuned to it, whereas I think he's not so kind of tuned into the challenges. And so I think for me, I think self-confidence is huge. And I think the generation that are being born now are going to have to kind of have struggle with pressures of social media, you know, that are just kind of never seen before. It's something we never had to go through. So I think having a really kind of grounded sense of who they are is so key. And I think even kind of really small things, I'm hypersensitive about language around her. She's not even two yet, but I am so hot on, I don't like people using things like fat, you know, any kind of terminology like that. I really try and not have around her. You know, perhaps I'm going to the extreme here, but I think it's really important. I think it's kind of crazy how we don't realize that we all do it. We all speak like that, you know, and it can be really damaging. So I think things like that are just ways you can try and protect them. But, you know, you can't wrap children up in cotton wool forever. They have to go out into the big bad world themselves. So I think for me, all you can do is try and make sure you've instilled that really good foundation, and then you have to kind of hope that's enough.
Well, that's excellent advice, and funnily enough, it's exactly the advice that our body image specialist Holly has given in terms of making sure the language that you use, and it really does start with us, is the right kind of language and is not going to be projecting our own kind of views onto our kids. So I think, you know, we're exactly the kind of right place to start, and being kind to ourselves and others, and that manifesting in the language you use is exactly the right approach. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your experience. It's been I was very honest and very brave to talk about these things, and hopefully it'll help lots of people out there. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.